you and Britain. Now, come on, after everything we did for that country. Taking all those awkward little artifacts off their hands. Keeping them for safekeeping in a nice building in London.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers! And we are not here this week! We're not here. Here being this microphone in London and John's phone line in LA where he was last week. We're no longer here.
No, in fact, this week, a hoax. I'm technically back in New York unless I've been sent somewhere else.
Right.
And you, Andy, are on the other side of the world.
Well, in fact, as we don't record next week, I will be watching the opening game of the World Cup between Bangladesh and India in Dhaka. With, I would imagine, several thousand very excited Bangladeshis.
Yes.
So no Bugle this week.
You're not going to stick out sonically or physically at all, Andy.
I'd imagine I'll blend in pretty much seamlessly with the locals. I think there's a lot of people with my kind of hair over there. Certainly.
Just be prepared to answer the question, where in Bangladesh are you from a lot?
So, we'll be back next week with the Bugle from Bangalore. In the meantime, here's some shit bits that weren't good enough to go in recent shows.
Okay. Okay, you're never supposed to verbalise the subject, Andy,
but there
you go.
Sorry. Yeah. Bye-bye. Until next
week.
Bye. UK government news now. So, Sudan, Belgium, Tunisia and Lebanon, all with governments in serious trouble, and the UK may be inching closer to appearing on that list. Because the UK government has admitted that it is resigned now to banks handing out billions of pounds in bonuses this year after claims that it would make sure that any such payments were very curbed. And the best the coalition can hope for now is a declaration from the banks that they will pay out less than they would have without government intervention. And, wow, Andy, I mean, that kind of tough talk shows we got the banks exactly where we want them. Oh, please give out slightly less. You're making people so angry with us. If we give you some money, could you please give out a bit less money? Please?
Yeah, the government are getting tough, John. They are really laying down some balls on the table here. they have been criticised. There was a promise in the Conservative pre-election policy that no banker's bonus would be higher than £2,000. Now, I mean, I know, in a build-up to an election...
That wasn't serious, was
it? We all say things we don't mean, John. But £2,000. I mean,
did they seriously say that?
Yeah. I mean, that is like a lion saying, "I'll not eat any more zebras as long as I live." It's just obvious bullshit.
£2,000. I think it might be much safer if we all just start accepting that absolutely nothing has happened to the banking system whatsoever. The only lesson they've learned is that they should make sure that if they fail again, they fail so spectacularly that any government just has to bail them out. In fact, Business Secretary Vince Cable said last month that the coalition government was fully signed up to robust action in curbing bonuses. I think he may have misused both the word robust and the word action there. I would love to have heard the tone of the conversation that he had with the banks. Excuse me, I was just wondering if we could have a little chat regarding the upcoming bonuses. Who is this? Is this you, Cable? How the f*** did you get this number? How many times have I told you not to call me, Cable? How many times? A lot of times. You're f***ing right a lot of times, Cable. If you don't hang up the phone in 3 seconds, I'm going to come to your office and lock you in your own filing cabinet. One, two... Okay, I think he's gone.
David Cameron has come out strongly against the banks and issued a statement today in Downing Street in which he said... Oh, come on, please.
If you want to know how to really do it as a government, Andy, just look to China.
Oh, yeah, always.
It's
right
so much easier to govern a country if you don't have to listen to a word that the population of your country says. And if they so much as sneeze at criticism in your direction, you can just bulldoze everything they own to the ground. So much easier. That's exactly what happened to the controversial artist Ai Weiwei this week. Is that how you pronounce it, Andy?
Oh, I don't know. I've not met him.
No, okay. Okay. Let me know if you ever do.
I'm only confident pronouncing the names of people that I've met.
Okay, fair enough. No, so he is a controversial artist, and those are two things that you really do not want to be in China. apparently, Chinese demolition workers turned up to his studio on Tuesday and knocked the entire building down within a day. And you can say what you like about the Chinese government, Andy. Well, you know, you can't, and that's kind of the point. But when they see a problem, they instantly see a quick solution. They don't overthink things. This group of students is causing a traffic obstruction in this square. Send the tanks in. This artist is running his mouth off. Send the bulldozers in. This child gymnast did not achieve a perfect score on the beam. Hit her feet with sticks. They get the job done.
Apparently, the demolition happened earlier than even than Mr. I had been told it would happen. He'd been told it was going to be demolished, but it happened earlier. And he asked apparently why this had happened. And apparently, the destruction workers merely said, "Sooner or later, it would have been done anyway." And that's a nice level of fatalism from the Chinese Chinese demolition industry. You know, I guess I don't know if that's a legal defence for murder. Well, you know, would have died anyway.
I think it is. Yeah. I wonder if when he turned up to his studio the next day and that the entire place was rubble, whether there was any doubt in his mind whatsoever of what had happened. Has this been a very localised earthquake? Did I leave the gas on? Or, oh, has the Chinese government taken those confidence I made about them personally?
In other wizard news, a plagiarism case against J.K. Rowling has been dismissed in America. The estate of a deceased British author claims that she took various aspects of his book. And another case is also dismissed from someone else accusing Rowling of plagiarism. The plaintiff in this case, Barry Cotter, claimed that Rowling stole the plots and characters for her multi-billion dollar Harry Potter franchise from his own life. Cotter, a 55-year-old plumber from Merthyr Tydfil in Wales, claimed that the school in the Potter books, Hogwarts, was, quote, clearly based on the idea of human schools like the one I went to. Whilst he added that I used to wear glasses too sometimes. He also claimed that Potter went through a phase in his teenage years when he was sexually interested in silent movie stars from the 1920s. Mr. Cotter said it's not explicit in Rowling's work, but it's definitely there if you read it drunk. And can it be coincidence that when I was a teenager, I was caught in a compromising position, naked in a wardrobe with nothing but a photograph of Gloria Swanson and my, magic wand? So that was thrown out. Clearly, Harry Potter's not based on anything other than the character of Jesus from the Bible and the life of the West Indian cricket legend Garfield Sobers. And that's the end of it. It's not the fact that Britain caused these problems. It's the fact that Britain was stopping them happening until they left. And when our country's going to learn that you kick the British out and your country goes to shit? Look at Sudan, Zimbabwe, the Middle East, the USA, France, Scotland. It simply never works, John. It never works. Stick with Britain.
That's the problem, though, Andy. In the last days of British rule, when the British try and look at local population and say, you know, you'll look back on this time with fondness as some of the happiest days you had, they just look back and go, that just is not physically possible. Surely it can't get worse than this.
But people of Tunisia were asking for the things people often ask for from their governments, jobs, essentially. And the slogan that they used was bread, freedom, dignity. Although I would caution against too much bread, it can make you feel bloated. Too much freedom could be dangerous as well. If you're not careful, you'll just spend all day on eBay buying 1950s sports magazines. If my experience of living in a free country is anything to go by. And not too much dignity, otherwise you'll never make it to the top in business. So a balanced diet of bread, freedom and dignity is what really they are after. 144th out of 169 countries in the most democratic stakes list. And as we heard, 164th out of 178 in press freedom. So not necessarily the most charming of countries, but a valuable trade partner and a luxury holiday destination. Proving that when push comes to shove, we all stand back and wait for other people to do the pushing and shoving. And the official UN policy towards the Ben Ali regime had been for a long time, who gives a shit, it's only Tunisia. And it's spread elsewhere as well. In Nepal, there have been protests. A Nepalese man slapped a politician in the face in anger at a lack of political progress in his country. There's been a sort of internet, again, a Facebook site set up to support him. And this is, I mean, this this is interactive politics at its best, John.
Yeah.
You know, that's you physically interact with a politician, and then people interact with each other online. I mean, we had a similar thing here when, in fact, it was slightly the other way around. I think John Prescott slapped a member of the public in the face and a politician's protesting against the British electorate, I think it was. But again, this couldn't have happened even 5 years ago, probably, but certainly not 10 years ago. And as you, it does make it all the more remarkable that things like the 1989 revolutions happened. I mean, it is well, I think we forget how difficult it must have been to... I mean, it was quite hard getting dressed in the 80s, as I recall. So mm-hmm. organising a revolution must have been almost impossible.
It's incredible. He was arrested and released on bail, this man in Nepal. But when he got home, huge crowds had already turned out to meet him in support, and Nepal now has a face-slapping hero. And like with Prescott, when people were generally behind Prescott when he punched that person in the face, and like the flight attendant here who told his passengers to go f*** themselves before deploying the emergency slide and going home, I think there is a human respect for those who snap, as if we live vicariously through those who act on the instincts that the rest of us suppress. And apparently, this Nepalese man told reporters that no one should try to imitate his act, and that he was not proud of what he did. But then he went on to describe how the cheek of the politician felt like, and I quote, soft cotton. That is the opposite of telling people not to do it. That could barely be more seductive language. He went on to say, the cheeks of leaders enjoying delicious food and expensive facilities are bound to feel like that. Now I just want to get a plane ticket to Nepal and go and slap him myself. Or at least find out what his exact skincare regimen is. At the very least, he might be able to get an endorsement out of this. Use oil of Ulay for skin so cotton soft, complete strangers will want to slap you in the face.
Well, they're not more likely now to go up and you know, just nuzzle him with their own cheeks. To follow that. You are soft and cottony. I'll vote for you. Do you know, Margaret Thatcher's cheeks actually felt like Velcro. And she used to sometimes get stuck on walls. Yeah, the interesting thing, John, is that really, it seems to be, again, communication that is driving this. There are 20 million people on the internet in Egypt out of a population of 80 million. For the first time in human history, communication has become uncontrollable. Because in the past, if you wanted to, you know, stop communications getting out, all you had to do was, you know, a long time ago, steal someone's chisel to stop them carving their own set of 10 mm-hmm. counter commandments into a bit of stone, or, you know, unpick a tapestry if you weren't happy with how Buffett made William the Conqueror look, or just make state television absolutely unmissable. And if someone was stirring up trouble, you just need to find who it was, where they were, and then meet up with them and politely say, now, was there something you wanted to say? Let's go somewhere quiet and talk about it, shall we? How about this woodland clearing? Now, what was that? Hang on, my hearing's not so good. When you're at head level, old snooker injury. Why don't you just kneel down and tell me about it? I found the sound more audible when it's coming upwards towards my... Sorry, what was that? Sorry, my hearing aid isn't working. Why don't you just put your hands on your back of your head? It just helps you project your voice and just you sound more clear and more resonant. Sound there, nice straight back. Hang on, I'll just record this conversation for posterity as well. Hang on, I'll just get to. Just so happens my wife gave me a new dictaphone for my birthday. No, I'd never seen one in the shape of a revolver either. The big ditch just helps the acoustic. Right, I'll just press record. Bang! Off you go. But it's more complicated than that now.
Yeah.
Mass communication is like a stroppy teenage hydra. Whenever you chop one of its tits off and tell it to go to its room, it gets cranky, shouts, you don't understand me, runs off and grows some more heads. British health news now, and the government is getting massively overexcited about the NHS. They're having a huge restructuring. That is proving quite controversial. They're giving a lot of the financial control to doctors, given that that's clearly what they're trained to do. The government logic is that something must be done. We right. are doing something, therefore we are nailing this banana right in the eye. And David Cameron said, doing nothing is not an option. He should try telling that to God, who has been sat on his big round celestial patoot for a solid 2,500 years now, ever since he backed out of the paternity test that could have solved a lot of subsequent problems. But, so why the need for this massive restructuring? It appears that refusing to treat the elderly or the poor or children or other economically draining social groups is not politically correct these days, thank you, Brussels. So the government had to come up with something else, and that something else was putting doctors in charge of multi-million pound budgets. So we may have to update the famous old doctor-doctor jokes. For example, doctor-doctor, I feel like a pair of curtains. Off, I'm trying to work out how to spend £100 million without people dying all over the place, whilst trying to remember why it was I got into medicine in the first place. Boom, boom, I'm here all week, at evenings and weekends to try to keep up with things. Boom, try the amoxicillin. So, whether you think this is basic penny-pinching, or an ideological assault on the concept of a universal health service and everything it stands for, or a cheeky way to help those poor little drugs companies make a little bit extra on the side, or just politicians dicking about because they've got too much time on their hands, and feel they don't legislate on everything all the time, they might be left with no alternative but to participate in potentially fatal sex games, the fact remains that this is the biggest upheaval in the NHS since they banned matrons from smashing troublesome patients in the head with golf clubs to shut them up. Never been the same since, of course. And it also comes down to trying to give the customer or patient choice. Now, most medical patients are only interested in the old two-prong either-or choice, life or death, with the majority going for A, life please, doc, and if you can squeeze me in for a blast on the defibrillator, so much the better. I could do with a pep-up. The coffee in this hospital tastes of potatoes. The Royal College of GPs and the British Medical Association claimed that the same results of this restructuring could have been achieved with mere tweaks to the current structure. But, John, what the f*** do they know? Anyone can set themselves up as a so-called expert body these days. You whack the word royal or British on the front and everyone assumes you know what you're talking about. Who are these self-proclaimed doctors to tell the government what doctors should be doing? And anyway, they've got to be realistic, John. This is a new government. They've been playing pretend for 13 years. They are not going to be interested in tweaks. Was Harry Truman interested in tweaking the atomic bomb? He was not. He was interested in making it go kaboom, and kaboom again, and then saying, and next time, we'll drop it on a less populated area, just to show we really mean business. Yeah, hang on, have we got those two the wrong way around? Oh, balls, my mistake. Cameron has come up with one of his classic false choices, saying it's basically either this or it's not this. And this is something he really enjoys, basically saying, do you want me to sit here and do nothing? No. Well, we're on the same page. So, he's got previous when it comes to this. We used to live next door to Cameron, interestingly, years ago, John. And one day, really? When he and I were both out on our patios catching some rays, I just casually said over the fence that I was a bit sick of next door's kids kicking their football into my garden. And he said, yeah, that must be really annoying, mate. I'll have a word with them. So anyhow, the next day, I get back from my daily trip to the bodybuilding club after pumping some serious iron. And I found next door's house a smouldering pile of rubble, and next door's kids hanging upside down from the lamppost, dead as a jaybird, with the word scum painted on their lifeless torsos. Up comes Dave Cameron. He says to me, there you go, Zoltzy, problem solved. And I said to Dave, hey, big dog, I think you might have gone a step too far there. And he throws his machine gun, flamethrower and scimitar to the ground and says, what, so you wanted them to keep kicking their football into your garden? Well, why didn't you say so? And then he scuttles off around the corner. 2 minutes later, he's backing a lorry around the corner, piles straight through my garden fence and empties a consignment of 50,000 footballs onto my lawn. And then he says, happy now? So I guess we could have seen from this pattern of behaviour that this might be the way you go about things. But it does... doesn't make you hanker for the days when waiting lists were short and life expectancy was shorter. But, you know, back in the old medieval days, they had it sorted. No NHS overspend for them, John. Just a few rats, a dose of the plague, and a laissez-faire attitude. Bingo! And they're also restructuring education. The Education Secretary, Michael Gove, said he wants more emphasis on facts. Now, clearly this is something we at the Bugle are wholly and unequivocally opposed to. There is no place for facts in education. For a start, one man's fact... it's another man's burning effigy. And I was taught a lot of facts at school, and like a lot of youngsters, I've clearly rebelled against that. And when I left school, I knew all about the death of General Wolfe at the Battle of Quebec in 1759, but not how to change a tire in a car, perform an emergency tracheotomy, rewire an electric chair, or talk to a girl. I guess it's all about balance, and about finding girls who are obsessed with the Seven Years' War. This was before the internet, of course. Nowadays you just go on a Seven Years' War message board and start banging on about what total dicks the Bourbons were and what a dude the Marquess of Granby was.
Right, that's all of them. They've gone, and they couldn't even bother to say goodbye, which I guess just shows the contempt that they have for you. They've gone, and they don't love you as much as I do. And I can barely hold back the contempt I have for you at the best of times. So I'm just going to play the outro music now. Bye.